We look at the number of now new facilities. You know, Hyundai here in Savannah, you know, Scout was just announced, you know, Volkswagen Scout.
Right, in South Carolina.
2.5 hours from here.
Right, Rivian.
Rivian, hope maybe he's back on his feet outside of Atlanta. Yeah. Interesting to watch as the transition from manufacturing demand, backing away from EV, seeing how all this affects our sort of regional economy over the next 10 years.
Exactly.
Morning, welcome to the North Point of View. Here with Dr. Walter Kimsey's. Walter, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you today?
I'm great. Hey, this might be the shortest podcast we ever do.
Well, we're not short the industry.
Well, we might.
Yes.
We might. Or certain parts of it, right?
Yes, certain, the long short maybe.
Certain players. Auto industry. Mm-hmm. We talked with Bill earlier about the home building industry. We'll make sure we have an extra mic next time. And I'd really like the three of us to continue that conversation.
Listen, I admire you guys. I mean, it's making faces on the side and nobody laughed. It's like, man, that was something.
But he, you know, he's at the table. And so, but as you just said, you know, home building is one of the legs of the stool in our national economy. The auto industry is another. Our good friend, you know, Jim has been talking about consolidation, right? I think there are 32 distinct automakers around the world.
Wow.
And he says that number is going to go to, you know, 12.
It could.
EV is a major issue right now. I don't own an EV. You don't own an EV.
That's right.
Probably never say never, but probably never will.
No. Yeah, listen, you'll have to stick an EV into my dead cold hands when I die, okay?
It's just not going to happen. But bottom line, what's your outlook over the next 2 to 3 years?
It's going to be a lot of M&A. You're already seeing that Nissan, you know, started to bite the dust. And the rumor out there, which is a pretty well-verified rumor, is that Honda is going to take over Nissan and there'll be one company.
And they've started to squeeze them a little bit too. You saw the article yesterday, right? They're retrading them.
Yep.
That's going to be painful.
Oh, no. There's Kohl's, there's Nissan, and there's raking Nissan over the Kohl's.
Yep.
But which surprised me because they make some really good cars.
Sure.
I mean, I'll be honest. I love the Altima. It's a great car, but you can't drive a long distance. I'm getting too old for that. I mean, my hips were killing me. The seats they put in there.
And the business is complicated, right?
It is complicated.
It's getting more complicated every day.
So let's talk about some of the first principles of autos, right?
So I'll take that back. This is not going to be the shortest podcast we've ever done.
You're talking to me, Mark. You're talking to me.
Give him a rope. He's a cowboy. Here we go to the rodeo.
That's right. Define short. Yeah.
Less than half an hour.
When you design a car, the platform, it costs $1 billion. Well, it used to. I don't know what it is these days with more inflation, but it's, you know, $1, maybe $2 billion at this point. And you can design it to make luxury cars, and you don't sell a lot of luxury cars, but you sell them for a lot of money, and that's how you recover the investment. And if you design a new platform for economy cars, then you have to expect to sell an awful lot of them because the margin is smaller. And to recover that $2 billion means, you know, sale after sale after sale. And the development of the EVs, and I forgot the number that you fed to me a couple of years ago, but, you know, Ford was, GM was looking at some number like $6 billion. Yeah. I mean, it just
floored me. I think Ford lost $5 billion last year.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, this is a much bigger platform investment cost. And how are we doing with the sales? Not so good. You know, a lot of people who have money to burn were happy to buy an EV, a Tesla at $80,000, now $50,000.
And then the used market, as you were saying earlier, you can buy a 3 or 4 year old EV for $5,000.
Yeah, I know. It's that stunned me. I saw that in Automotive News. You know, this is one of my favorite go-to reads. And $5,000, wow. And the dealers said they couldn't, they were sitting on the lots forever. It wasn't just that they were cheap. It was like, we can't even give this stuff away. EVs are just not a good idea. The technology's not there yet. I can see the hybrids. The hybrids make sense, but to a better extent. But the EVs just are not ready for prime time.
Right.
And so we have a problem that China is out there pushing automakers to produce a lot of EVs. They're giving them subsidies for it. And 10, 12 years ago, when China got into the auto industry, they had 100 car makers. And about 80 of them went bankrupt, as you'd expect. And the surviving guys were Geely and SAIC, Shanghai Auto and you know, Industrial Corporation.
But isn't, can we pause right there? I mean, isn't sort of an interesting strategy by the Chinese government to double down and double down again on EV?
Yeah.
Thought that comes to my mind is the Hunt brothers trying to corner the silver market. Well, back in the day, right?
No. This is different. This is a a command economy will outperform a market-based economy. No matter how much historical data proves that this is not true, the Communist Party of China, Mr. Xi, thinks that he's smarter than a billion Chinese citizens.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to my definition of stupid. He's got an idea and he's going to keep running with it, even though if he checked with others, they'd say stop.
Right.
And so he's interfering in the market, not going to work. He's really causing global economic damage with this. There are ports. I know I always bring it back to ports. There are ports in Northern Europe and in Southern Europe that have tens of thousands of Chinese EVs sitting on the lots because the dealers don't want them because they can't sell the ones that they've got in their lots in Europe to begin with.
Right.
And it's not that much better over here. This is not a good technology. It's not ready. Now, we're just
the
not
snake
ready.
Snake can't digest the rat in the system.
Exactly. This is the snake digesting the elephant, right? Just you kind of got around the trunk and went, oh, crap. I can't do the whole elephant.
At some point, it kills the snake, right?
The snake cannot, you know, inhale the elephant. It got confused. It was dark. It started eating the trunk. And then all of a sudden, it got to the head and went, uh-oh. So the snake's dying. And the Chinese economy is dying, but that's subject for another tape.
Yep.
So this transition to EVs, it was very poorly conceived. Previous administration pushed it way too hard.
Right.
You guys in California, I understand the California guys, Southern California, very well. I've been in the port. And before they started cold ironing, geez, Mark, my eyes watered, yeah. My lungs burnt from all of that. I mean, no, as much as you know, we may think CARB, et cetera, have gone a little too far too quickly, it isn't good, you know?
Oh, yeah, spend some time in Delhi.
Oh, my gosh. Right? Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to live like that.
No, you just can't. São Paulo in Brazil in the old days, you know, I used to get asthma attacks. Anyways, I understand. It's kind of like, if you think about it this way, one coal-fired electric plant in the world, nobody's going to say a word. No big deal. Two, no big deal. Three, no big deal. 100, no big deal. But suddenly you hit this number, whatever it is, 53,221. And now you're impacting the climate you think. You know, there's a good correlation. You don't have the causality models. See last tape. And we need to change the way we're doing things. And so as the scale gets bigger, you change the business model, you change the operations. If I opened a donut shop in Savannah, it was very successful. I'd open a second one, a third one. But eventually I stopped mixing the dough in the stores. I do it in a central location and then I distribute it. And so you change your operating model. The EV is essentially the step towards changing the operating model, make it all more sustainable, but there are a lot of moving parts, and having the government interfere like ours did, or like the Chinese government is, oddly enough, the Europeans are far more market-oriented, which is...
That's a great analogy, though, when you talk about the donut shops, and the, so they built this huge factory for all the ingredients to go to make the products but we don't have enough donut shops, enough people eating donuts.
Exactly.
Right? Oh,
I didn't look at it that way. All right, but you're right. That's exactly what happened.
So we've looked at the numbers. If everybody in America eats 73 donuts a day, then it works.
We'll be okay. It reminds me of when I was in the UK and Vodafone and the others were bidding for 3G. And we looked at the share prices and then we boiled it to the fundamentals and the revenue that you'd have to have. Assume that every man, woman, child, and newborn in the UK had at least three cell phones.
But if you can sign off on that, then it's good.
It was great, exactly.
It works.
And so, and then we said, we might want to go short. And
yeah.
So the same thing with the auto industry. You said 32 companies in a row. No. In China alone, you've got 100 EV makers, of which probably the top five or six will survive. You know, SAICs all over the place. You know, we've got a couple of other Chinese companies trying to penetrate other markets. The rest of them, no, not going to happen. And then you have all of the old school companies, and they'll probably get merged together.
Right.
And think General Motors. So, you know, General Motors has Buick, Oldsmobile, was it? I think Studebaker was one of their brands at one point. No, I'm wrong. It wasn't Studebaker. But they were a number of brands that were going bankrupt. They got, you know, outcompeted. And you just bought them up as GM. And then you had all of these brands that, you know, today you know as General Motors. Ford kind of built itself up. They just reinvested in their business. They didn't until much, much later in the industry did they start to buy other brands. It was a mistake. You know, they had a good homegrown thing. But I think we've got too many brands out there, and each brand needs a huge number of car buyers. You'll notice, where do we make cars in the Americas? US, Brazil, Mexico. Three big populations. Why not in Peru? There's nobody there. How are you going to sell enough cars to justify it? Colombia, why not, you know, Nicaragua? You know, Panama, 4 million people. Nah. And even in Europe, you know, Seat from Spain, they flamed out and Volkswagen bought them, and Volkswagen's been doing what GM has done. So we're going to see some guys getting bought up. Others are going to go bankrupt. And I think globally, we're going to go from 150 or so makers down to about 30.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just looking at hard numbers rather than you know, conjecturing.
Let's come back to the population bands. You know, when you look at the Southeast, mm-hmm. we look at the number of now new facilities, you know, Hyundai here in Savannah, you know, Scout was just announced, mm-hmm. you know, Volkswagen Scout.
Right, in South Carolina.
2.5 hours from here.
Right, Rivian.
Hope maybe he's back on his feet outside of Atlanta. Yeah. Interesting to watch. As the transition from manufacturing, demand, backing away from EV, seeing how all this affects our sort of regional economy over the next 10 years.
Exactly. I mean, we are at the fulcrum of the transition. Although I got to tell you, what I liked about Hyundai, and people didn't notice this for a while until, you know, something hit the fan and went all over the place. But Hyundai had already set up a relationship with Georgia Tech to further develop electric vehicles. And they said they were going to do hydrogen here. They were going to do hybrids. Yeah. And anything beginning with the letter H and not with the letter E.
Yeah.
Okay, the E thing, we'll walk away from it. The H's, we like hybrid, hydrogen, whatever. We looked at ammonia, but no, that's too corrosive.
Hydrogen.
But it's hydrogen. Ammonia and hydrogen, same thing, right?
Apologies, it wasn't our shortest podcast ever.
No.
But great conversation.
Yes.
Walter, always great to be with you.
So, wait a minute. Yeah. So, our recommendation is short.
Short.
Short some of the auto companies, short some of the other guys, and hopefully some fall more than the others and you make money. Dangerous the game to play.
You heard it here first.
All right, guys, take care.
Thanks, Walter.
All right, see ya.
See you guys.